Just mindful of that incident when Eric tapped the microphone, of that story of the Anglican priest who, at the beginning of the service, there's something wrong with this microphone, to which the congregation replied, and also with you. I think it's all right. It's lovely to be with you. I'm delighted and honored, and it's a privilege to be with you on this occasion, to be back home in the place where I was born, Posh Geordie, West Monk Seaton. I went to Park Infants and Junior School, and I bring greetings also from the Northumbria community. Lovely to have David Neal here with us, as has already been mentioned. David, who for many churches and many individuals, and particularly me for minister throughout my many years, has been a great encourager and a great inspiration. Buildings are important. Thank God we're moving away from a utilitarian approach to buildings. And we've begun to see and think more creatively about the design and purpose and influence that buildings and the environment have upon the well-being of individuals and communities. I entered ministry from an unchurched background and became the first minister of Portrack on Teesside. And I remember going to that church, and it had barbed wire on the roof. It had vandal-proof paint on the downpipes and the guttering. It had caged windows and a big sign that said, "Welcome to our church." It's one of the first things that we sought to do. If we're going to welcome, then we have to make the place look more welcoming. You need to be careful about the signs that you put up outside churches and within. I love the one that says, "Don't let worries kill you, let the church help." Tweet others as you would like them to be tweeted. And in the children's nursery, unattended children will be given a double espresso and a free puppy. Or the church in Alabama, "Trouble sleeping? Try our sermons." I've got to confess that I actually have some mixed feelings about church buildings. During my presidency of the Baptist Union, I got asked on a number of occasions, three or four occasions, to cut the tape at church building openings, and I resisted every one, apart from the one that offered tickets to see Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I love church buildings, but I also worry about them. On the one hand, there are cathedrals and some churches and monasteries that induce what I would describe as a wow factor. Durham Cathedral, Saul and Down Cathedral in Ireland, where I went after the presidency. The little chapel at Old Bewick, north of Alnwick. Wow factor places. But then there's a why that worries me at times. The amount of money that sometimes is expended upon buildings. I remember going to a church, and the week before they had just opened their building. They wanted me to come and do their building. I didn't do that, but I did come the following week and preach at their first service in their new building. And I was mindful that they had spent £1.4 million on refurbishment when all around them were the homeless on the streets. So we have that paradoxical thing. I remember going to Dereham Baptist Church, where good friends and I work and mentor the team there, had refurbished the internal of their building like you have done, and it was wonderful. And the senior minister asked me to do a symbolic act on that first Sunday when they were back in, was to spill my coffee on the carpet, just to remind people that it was not the Holy of Holies, that to spill coffee was not the unforgivable sin, and that buildings were there to serve the purposes of God and people and not to become an end or entity in itself. It's a tension, isn't it, between the established church and pioneering, of which I'm now a pioneering coordinator. There's a place for both, isn't it? Buildings and no buildings in the work of the kingdom. My wife and our family, all 16 of us, were away in Cornwall this year. And I remember going into one church on one Sunday, and they were refurbishing their buildings to make it more amenable, more accessible, more welcoming, more hospitable to the many holiday bakers who came. And it was lovely. And more elderly people came in, used to the threshold of the church, and they held special services through the summer, and it was all really good and positive. But if I'm honest, I preferred the beach church that ran barbecues and games and frisbees and conversations, and when it was wet, they retired to the Sloop Inn for drinks in the pub. Both are valid. That's the mixed economy of the church, whether we buildings or not. We just have to be careful about making buildings the only arena in which God works. That was the issue that was faced by those who were with Jesus on that incident that some of you will know as the Mount of Transfiguration, that this amazing thing happened to Jesus. And what was the response? Let's get a building surveyor and an architect in and let's erect something that can keep Jesus here. We have to resist that. There are some believers who have no buildings, maybe because they're poor, they don't have the resources, or because there's war or conflict, persecution or oppression. I remember teaching usually at this time of the year in Prague, the seminary there that I know John has been to, and visiting the home of people who had lived as the church under communism, meeting in secret with no church buildings. Or as will happen today, the underground, persecuted, secret church that meets in one of our northern cities for fear of persecution because of people who are converted from a different faith perspective. The church is not about buildings, it's about people and his people. And you've proved here at Whitley Bay that for several months, you were still the church, even though you weren't in a church building, you were in a school. Many of you know that for many years I've lived in my beloved Northumberland, and there are some lovely church buildings in Northumberland, but the problem with Northumberland is there's no churches in them. And when we put our focus of attention on bricks and mortar, then we are actually committing acts of idolatry. We are to be the people of God who worship God and keep a due sense of proportion on the buildings and the arenas in which we're called to live and work and worship and serve. I say these things not to put a dampener on the occasion, but to just sound a warning before we look on to the tremendous potential and positive that buildings like this possess for God's purposes. Environments are now widely recognized as really important factors in people's well-being. Where you are born, the place in which you live, where you go to school, which constituents you're in, has a major impact upon your life. And the same is true with buildings. Buildings such as this have the potential to speak and minister into the lives of people's well-being, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And with the removal of the pews, definitely physically. And what you've done here is fabulous. This is the first time I've seen it. I did actually see a snapshot. Somebody put one on Facebook, but it's good. How many of you watch Kirsty and Phil's Channel 4 program on houses? Love it or list it? For those of you who are religious, who go to house groups and prayer meetings, the rest of us watch Channel 4. It's a great program. And I have to say that what you've done here, I love it. I would not list this, which is a relief to those of you who raise money for this. And we give thanks to God today that it wasn't built by Persimmon. Anyway, in that program, Phil and Kirsty asked the residents, why are they doing what they're doing? What do they hope to achieve? And I want to ask the same question. Why did you do what you've done? It wasn't just because it was awkward, the pipes, and you needed the heating system. Why? What was the reason behind that? What was undergirding the place? And as we ask that question, I want to remind us of just a couple of things that as we come not only to really dedicate this building, but ourselves to God's purposes, that we would look at scriptures and see some things that might just provoke and inspire and encourage us today. And in the first book in the Bible, and don't worry, I'm not going through from Genesis to Revelation with an example from each, but in the first book, there's an experience of God's first covenant, the first, in a sense, relationship that God enters into with somebody called Abraham and his family. And very simply, God says to Abraham, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. I'll bless you not so that you can be self-indulgent. I'll bless you not that you can be a special people, the Jews, distinct from everybody else. I'm going to bless you, my people, the Jews, so you will bless all the nations of the earth. It's a very, very simple principle. And however And in whatever way God has blessed you, he has done it so that you can be a blessing to others. You have been able to do this building, not in order for yourselves, but for the benefit of those beyond. It was Archbishop William Temple who said that the church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. This building is not for you and me, it's for the purposes of God and his kingdom, to bless the peoples of Whitley Bay and beyond. You have doors at the front of this building, not to keep people out, but to be open to welcome people in. The entrance foyer is like pulling out a huge welcome mat saying, all are welcome. Everybody is welcome in this building. Put the red carpet out. In Ireland, St. Bridget, and we use this in our own Northumbria Community Celtic Daily Prayer, Bridget's blessing. Seeing a stranger approach, I'd put food in the eating place, drink in the drinking place. I'd put music in the listening place and look with joy for the blessing of God, who often comes to my home in the blessing of a stranger. And the wonderful thing about this building and the wonderful privilege and calling that we have as followers of Jesus is to create places where there are no border controls, there are no barriers, there are no immigration, there's no partitions, there's no outer and inner courts, there's no exclusion zones, there is no discrimination, for everyone is welcome in this place. Everyone. Nobody is excluded in the love of God. So God has blessed you, clearly. But that blessing is so that you may be a blessing to others. Remember those words of Jesus in the Gospels where he says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, in his day, that was an incredibly revolutionary view because there were people with disabilities and diseases who were not allowed in the temple. The temple authorities had so filled the court of Gentiles with trading that other people who they regarded as excluded were not allowed in. That's why he overturned the tables. We often think it was because he was against commerce. Jesus was not against trade and industry and commerce. He was overthrew the tables because he hated the discrimination that outsiders were being excluded. And that's why he pointedly quoted from the prophet Isaiah about his house being a house of prayer for all nations, for all peoples. In Isaiah it says, they will be filled with joy in my house of prayer for all peoples. It's great, isn't it, to be in a house of prayer and filled with joy. It kind of busts the preconceived ideas that so many people have about church, that there is no joy. And the mark of any healthy church is one where there is great diversity, where all traces of sectarianism and dogmatism and sexism and racism and nationalism are utterly removed, where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, but all come to one in Christ. The other lesson from the episode of Jesus cleansing the temple is that whatever else you do in and to the building, it must not take away from its primary purpose, which is to pray and to worship God. But that doesn't mean a separation between that which is regarded sometimes as sacred and that which is secular. Please do not make this a religious building in the sense that we create a false and damaging divide between the sacred and the secular. That church in Norfolk, Durham Baptist Church, we worship God on a Sunday morning, and then at the end of the service, as people are having teas and coffees, and sometimes once a month lunches together, and then another Fresh Expressions congregation meets, then the pews are all cleared, because on Monday morning there's a job club, and there's table tennis, and there's pool tables in what other people talked about as the sanctuary. At New Life Baptist Church, where Shirley, my wife, and I now attend when we're there on a Sunday, there's lunches. It used to be the old cinema. There are lunches, film nights. Worship takes place, but so do games like table tennis, art, workshops, and conference facilities. The building is a place, but it's not the only place of worship. Worship is not about singing hymns alone. Worship is not simply about gathering for services. Worship is seven whole days, not one in seven. And this building should be a place where the praises of God echo throughout the building 7 days a week, where worship flows not just from the words that we sing, but from hearts and lives that are seeking to live for God's glory, where the scriptures are known and lived out, where prayer becomes as natural as breathing, where listening and discerning the mind of Christ together as you wait upon God, His Holy Spirit inspiring and influencing all that you seek to be and to do. A building where fellowship, that true, the word that is used in the New Testament, koinonia, that deep friendship, displaces the superficiality of glib conversations or religious platitudes or spiritual pretenses, where the reality of God is known through depth of relationship, of journeying together as disciples, where the love of God compels and propels us to love our neighbor within and beyond the walls of these buildings, where the worship of God in this place moves us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work and serve, going in the name and peace of Christ to the world, where we can be in this place as carers, friends of heaven, that we may become friends of earth and how the earth needs friends today, where we are inspired within these buildings to work for reconciliation, to the rebuilding of broken lives in our communities, where we can speak out for those who have no voice, who've lost their voice, or whose voice is never, never heard, where we become good news to the poor, where we welcome the stranger, we protect the vulnerable, where the refugee and the migrant worker and the asylum seeker are welcomed in Christ's name, where the homeless are sheltered, where the hungry are fed, where the naked are clothed, acting always as the people of God with mercy and compassion as we seek God in this place. In our Northumbria community, we have a house blessing. It's one of our daily meditations. It says, Lord, take this place and fill it with your blessing. And I sat in my relatively new home this week, which is a normal experience. Not that I was sitting in a home, but it was a new house. And I sat down and with a painting, my parents' painting of St. Mary's Lighthouse in the wall in front of me, I wrote these words for you and I offer them to you on this day of dedication. Words that I pray will be realized in greater measure in and through this building, through the life, ministry, and mission of the church here. Lord, take this place and fill it with your blessing. Let it be a haven where the poor in spirit sing. Let it be a telling place, a transforming place, a place where lives are changed by God for good. May it be a place of regeneration. You've had a facelift, haven't you? I'm not talking about Eric. Well, this place, may it be a faith lift. Whitley Bay is on the up. If you read the press, there's a regeneration program coming into being. You can see it in the environment, in the seafront, in the promenade, in some of the buildings, in the Empress Ballroom. I looked at the Seaview Master Plan. There is a master beyond the master plan who has a purpose for you here in this refurbishment, because you in Christ's name can bring a regeneration that no architect, no borough surveyor, no councillor, no mayor, probably no MP in the current moment, can bring. But we can work together with all those people in civic society to serve the purposes of regeneration for the well-being of our inhabitants and dwellers of this place. A place where people can feel at home. One of the big issues in the human psyche, psychologists, psychotherapists, people in mental health will know that one of the big issues that we face in society today is a sense of identity. Who am I? And in the human psyche is this longing to feel, where do I belong? Where is home? Well, you can in our increasingly dysfunctional Western culture, where all the fruits of our consumerism and selfishness and Western individualism have all now reaping terrible harvests of great damage to ourselves and the environment. When people feel isolated and alone, and mental health issues are like a tsunami sweeping across Western society, one of the things that you can do as a church is to create home for people, to respond to the poor attachment theory that is killing and crippling and damaging the lives of people for generations. Place to call home. Place where people are welcomed. Those of you, all six of you, who watch Channel 4, you may recall back in the 1980s, there was a wonderful program on a Friday evening called Cheers. Can you remember Cheers? It was set in a Boston bar. That was the theme tune that we used to regularly sing in my first church. It wasn't in Songs and Hymns of Fellowship. It certainly wasn't in the Baptist hymn book. It wasn't even in hymns ancient and modern. But we used to sing it. Making your way in the world today, remember it? Takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Isn't that a great definition of church? Eric, you need to sing that. You need to just get over whatever it is and just sing it at some place. Actually, that would be kind of your song. It's a place where people are blessed by being here, where in welcoming all whom God sends. How dare the church say to anybody, you are not welcome? Jesus will come here and he will come in the guise of a stranger and he will come in the guise of those who would be, normally alienate yourselves from. All are welcome here. Young and old, from different backgrounds and traditions, nations and experiences of life, come together to experience the gift of community, where strangers can become friends. We are facing the worst political crisis of my lifetime. The disturbance that is going on our society is masked by the consumerism that just anesthetizes us from the deep and disturbing elements that are going on. The rise of racism and nationalism and tribalism is a frightening prospect. I'm thankful that my mum and dad, who lived through the 1930s, are not living through the 2019s to witness the attitudes prevalent in our society today. What is the response of the church? The response of the church is to be beacons of hope, to be agents of reconciliation, to be the rebuilders of broken society, and it is a broken society. The disparity between wealth and poverty is evil in the sight of God. The divisions in our society threaten not only our own nation, but a European continent that has been at peace for over 60 years. God have mercy upon us. And we in the Church of Jesus Christ, who celebrate at Easter the death of Jesus, who in his death accomplished not only redemption and reconciliation, but tore down the walls, the barriers, the borders that separate us from one another. We are agents of his reconciliation to the world. We have discovered again what our purpose and our calling is, to be agents of Christ's peace and reconciliation in the world. I used to live near the Scottish borders. I miss being able to play curling. You can't do it in North Allerton. But I witnessed firsthand the place of the church during the Scottish referendum, where the Kirk held sessions, where the Kirk held public debates, so people either side of the debate on the referendum could come together with civility and respect, with dignity and honour, and wrestle with those things. The church needs to rediscover its voice in the public domain for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. We become agents of reconciliation. We become places where strangers and those at enmity become friends. A place where, to quote the words of one of our Baptist pioneers, Ruth Rice, who heads up the new well-being movement, a place where we create where it's okay to not be okay. Where hospitality of the heart is not about simply entertaining people. Good definition of entertainment is, you know, making people feel at home when sometimes you wish they were. We can do entertainment in our churches, and we do it well. We need to move beyond that to a deeper level of hospitality of the heart so that we're available to people. outside of those comfort zones and those times that we decree. May it be a place where life is lived and celebrated and affirmed and encouraged. May it be a place where there's no sacred second divide. May it be a place of lightness. This building, may there be loads of laughter here and lightness and singing and storytelling and dancing. My mum and dad used to go off to the Empress Ballroom on Saturday nights for dinner dances. And they used to come back and my father was singing the songs that Bing Crosby and other people were like playing at the time. Kept me awake as a 7-year-old, but anyway, that's a separate story. As I think about my parents, I long that people may come out from our buildings of our churches here, in whatever activity they've been a part of, whatever they've shared in, that they maybe have lighter footsteps, a song on their lips, an echo of praise in their hearts, and joy in their lives. May it be a place, a thin place, and by that I don't mean simply a facility for Weight Watchers, but a place where the veil between heaven and earth is thin, where the building where somehow people sense the presence of God and are drawn into his embrace. May it be a sign, as somebody alluded to earlier, John I think it was, in an increasingly secular society, within the infusions that have mixed spiritualities, may this be a sign of the one true living God. The days of secularism are just one voice among many, and we need to rediscover our voice because it's a voice that brings hope. Leo de Chardin says, the future of the world belongs to those who bring it hope, and we are bearers of hope. May its walls speak of safety and protection, gathering in, but its doors and windows be reminders to us of a world outside. May it be a place of recognition and honor, of thanksgiving and celebration. May it be a place where believer, seeker, unbeliever, and the unsure are welcomed. May it be a place of sharing and caring, a place where the presence of God is known, not just in worship, but in having a cup of coffee, in doing the photocopying, in playing sports and games, whatever is done here. An arena that encourages openness and responsiveness to God, his Spirit, and his Word. May it be a place of comfort and compassion that touches the hearts of the wounded and the grieving and the broken. And may it be a place where you know God's blessing. Lord, as it says in that prayer, take this place, this is our prayer, take this place and fill it with your blessing. Amen. We're going to listen to a song, Let Us Build a House, some great words, very familiar tune. If you want to sing along with it, then please feel free to do so. Let's use it as a reflection and a response to our service and dedication today. Thank you.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Let's sing with it, shall we?
Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong.
Symbol of God's grace. There is one we claim, the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all
as we share in Christ the peace that frees us. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bears the image of God's face.
Let us bring an end to fear and danger.
Suggested that you sit down, but if you're able, will you please stand for the prayer of rededication. Generous God, of your great goodness, you have given your people the vision and skill to refurbish this sanctuary to be a centre for prayer and worship that is contemporary, flexible and versatile as a space to be used for the church and community. Bless this place. Here may the gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed and made known in service and in fellowship. Here may the sacraments be celebrated with joy and reverence, and your people nurtured and strengthened in faith and hope and love. Here may the seeker find faith, the weak find courage, the grieving find comfort, and the celebrating find joy. Lord, hear us when we pray to you in this house and bring before you our concerns for the world. May it be a place of peace to all who enter, a fortress against all hatred, envy, and pride, and a beacon to all who seek your presence. In the name of God the Father, who formed us in love and calls us by grace, we rededicate this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who draws us together in unity, we rededicate this place. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who speaks in our hearts the words of eternal life, we rededicate this place. Generous God, of your great goodness, you renew your people in their daily living. So bless this congregation. Empower us on this day of rededication for fresh ventures of faith, greater commitment to worship, and new acts of service and mission. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we rededicate ourselves in service and praise. Please be seated.
We continue in prayer. Let us pray to God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that God's loving presence may always be found in this place by all who turn to him. When here we share our daily common life, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. When your people gather here to seek your face, to offer praise and prayer, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. When here we celebrate new life in baptism, in the breaking of bread, and in the faithful hearing of your word, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. When vows and commitments are made here in marriage and in our life of faith and service, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. When here we commend your servants into your hands to pass through death to you, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. When we seek forgiveness and grace here, peace and reassurance, strength and consolation, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. When with the other churches of this town, we join in holding Whitley Bay, our nation and the world before you for blessing, Lord, have mercy. Lord, hear us. Let us be still for a few moments. Father of unending goodness, maker and builder of all, sustain all that you have made. Jesus Christ, the sure foundation and cornerstone, confirm our hope and trust in you. Holy Spirit, source of all skill and love and power, inspire our service and living. To the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all glory now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught his disciples, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We're going to sing together one more song once the music group have assembled. And then I do invite you to join us for a cup of tea or coffee and a piece of cake through in the hall behind. Thank you for coming. There have been a number of apologies sent this afternoon. Quite a number of people who seem to be worshipping at another church this afternoon. At least it's called St. James's. And I know some of you wish you were too. But thank you even more for being here. We're going to praise God in this last song, which says, "Men of faith, rise up and sing." Now, just so that we are not confused, I would like the ladies to sing this first verse as a blessing on the men, and then the men to sing the second verse as a blessing on the women, and then we'll all sing the third verse. Thank you, Eric.